This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we are talking about cheese toast.
This episode was suggested by listener Jennifer.
Thank you, listener Jennifer.
You know who you are.
So
you know what you've done for us, and we are so grateful.
Oh, yeah. I'm really grateful because this stuff is good. And, like, we might just have to skip over memory lane because here's the what's weird about this. This is a thing I really didn't know anything about, even though it's the most obvious food in the world.
I only started making something that I called cheese toast because I was too lazy to make a grilled cheese. And I've always had a toaster oven.
So you put some cheese on bread or on toast?
Cheese on lightly toasted bread. So that by the time the cheese is melted, the toast is also perfectly toasted.
Okay. So this is something that is relatively unknown in the U.S., I gather, and very popular, much more popular than grilled cheese sandwiches in the U.K. And I'm starting to get the feeling that this might be better than a grilled cheese sandwich because you get a little heat, a little browning on the cheese. And also you get more cheese, like, directly hitting the old taste buds.
I feel like I'm tasting the cheese more.
Right.
Yeah.
I just inhaled bread. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Bread and lungs don't mix.
Oh, I loved this podcast until Matthew died. Molly was not nearly as funny on her own for all those years.
You had to vamp for a long time. You kept, like, looking over to the empty kitchen and saying,
I was always like, when is he coming back?
That's right. Yeah, you totally, you were just, like, on your phone while the ambulance pulled up. And, like, a priest came in and delivered last rites, which is weird because I'm Jewish. And you were just like,
Yeah, I was like, do I still have to keep vamping?
Okay. And, I mean, to your credit, you did.
I will do anything for this show.
So, in the UK, and I encourage our British listeners to weigh in facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast or spilledmilkpodcast.com and let us know what I'm getting wrong here because I'm going to do my best based on the research I did. In the UK, a grilled cheese sandwich is usually called a toasted cheese sandwich or a cheese toasty.
Oh, I love that.
But if you talk about cheese toast or cheesy toast or cheese on toast, that is bread, sometimes toasted ahead, sometimes buttered, sometimes not, but with then cheese put on top and broiled or baked until the cheese melts.
Okay. And it can be just like grated or sliced cheese.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
We're about to talk about what we're eating right now, which is not just that. Should we hold off a little bit?
No, let's hold off a little bit.
Okay.
Let's tease.
Okay. So cheese toast, cheesy toast, cheese on toast.
I swear I'm almost done chewing / inhaling this.
Okay. Oh, so according to Wikipedia, when prepared correctly, the cheese on cheese toast covers the bread exactly, so there are no bitter burnt edges.
Yeah, which I think is so smart.
It's so smart. Yeah. It's important.
Right, because otherwise, like, the edge of the bread gets overbroiled.
Yes. And I do think that, yeah, there's nothing that more quickly, you know, like occasionally I've scorched a grilled cheese sandwich a little bit if mm-hmm. I've rushed it or whatever. And there's nothing that more immediately counteracts that delicious cheesy flavor
right.
than like a burnt bread flavor.
Mm-hmm. There's yeah. probably some like pica suffering individual out there who really likes burnt toast.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
So I did. I tried to figure out like what's the origin of cheesy toast, which was I then quickly realized was a silly thing to do because, like I said, it's the most obvious thing in the world.
Yeah.
There is someone I think posted like a joke story like on their website, saying that there was a guy named Wilf Chumbly, who invented cheese toast in Lancaster in 1912. And then
what makes you think that's a joke, though? I mean, I hope that there was a guy named Wilf Chumbly.
Well,
sometime.
I mean, first of all, because it's a funny name. But yes, I hope there was a guy named Wilf Chumbly. The idea of putting cheese on toast did not originate in 1912. I'm gonna go on record.
That's true. When was the Earl of Sandwich around?
Oh, I want to say the 18th century.
Oh, okay. So well maybe before 1912. 19th?
Okay. Yeah, but this is when was the Earl of Open-Faced Sandwich around?
Mm-hmm.
The tartine.
The tartine. The Earl of Tartine. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Maybe some listeners can weigh in.
But
on that.
Like many jokes, I later saw a news like a you know food section feature article about cheese toast that mentioned the Wilf Chumbly thing as if maybe it was true, which. It is not.
This is like the like our MSG episode when we talked about the letter yes. to the editor in the New England Journal
Except
of Medicine.
Except that wasn't intended as a joke.
That's correct.
But yes. But yeah. misinformation. It has legs.
Fake news. Have you heard mm-hmm. of fake news?
I think Wilf Chumbly invented fake news in 1923 in Shropshire.
Okay. Go on.
The fake news was that he said that he had invented cheesy toast. Okay. In 2013, the Telegraph newspaper reported, the Royal Society of Chemistry is teaming up with the British Cheese Board in a bid to track down the best-tasting version of one of the country's favorite snacks.
I hate this kind of stuff.
It's so dumb.
This makes me crazy. I hate these
And yet,
snacks.
I have to report it for this episode. It is my duty.
This is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Who will ever be able to determine the best-tasting version of anything?
Well, I mean, the answer is...
It doesn't stop humans.
Chemists. I'm going to... I wrote down the results of the inquiry. The result is that there were many indictments. But actually, I'm going to summarize the result, which is the way to make the best tasting version of cheese toast is to put some cheese on bread and then broil it.
Okay.
Would you say that's a fair summary of what they found?
Yeah, but I mm-hmm. think you need to talk about the real specificity here because it is
okay.
impressive. This seems like a borderline Cook's Illustrated
situation.
It's
borderline something. 50 grams of sliced hard cheese, such as cheddar, on a slice of white bread 10 millimeters thick under the grill. The cheese on toast should sit at a distance of 18 centimeters from the heat source, which in our grill was at a temperature of 1,150 Celsius, and needs to cook for 4 minutes to achieve the perfect consistency and taste.
Perfect for who?
It was the leader of the inquiry was chemist Ruth Neal. So I guess perfect for Ruth Neal. And there was some guy from the cheese board involved also.
Matthew, I know that you, like me, have been asked.
I do like you.
Thank you. Thanks. Sometimes I wonder. But no, I know that you, comma, like me, mm-hmm. comma, have been asked to judge various like food and baking competitions.
Yes. I always say the same thing. If I can have one of those barrister wigs, I am in.
I've only done it once.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was, you know, I felt like I was like taking part in some sort of like reenactment of something.
Like a Civil War reenactment?
Yeah, like we all knew that it was fake and it was dumb, but like we were having fun with it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't my thing.
And you got to blow away some Confederates.
I did. Matthew, I mean, do you think that judging food competitions is akin to LARPing?
I'm gonna say sure.
Great.
Like every year, pretty much, I judge a Korean barbecue competition.
I mean, that sounds fun just because eating it would be so.
Held by like the Korean American Professionals Association in Washington, and it's super fun because I get to eat a bunch of Korean barbecue for free and give my opinion.
I take it back. I'm into this.
It's great. I mean, like, it's for a good cause. And, like, I don't think that it's ever, like, turned into a vendetta or like, a I don't think there are like Korean barbecue nemeses that have arisen from the competition, but maybe so. That would make it more, that would add a certain spice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a dish best served grilled.
approximately 18 centimeters from the heat source. When I lived over closer to the university district in Seattle, I lived not too far from Cowan Park, where there's this like ravine that kind of goes along Ravenna. Yeah. And I remember taking...
Wait, did we already discuss whether Ravenna is Italian for ravine or not?
Oh, no, I don't think we've discussed it.
I had this thought like a couple weeks ago. I was like, huh, well, maybe I just figured something out. And then I forgot to look it up. And then I thought of it again at a time when I couldn't look it up.
You could look it up now, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. Anyway, I remember...
you know, if I start getting on my phone during the show, you're going to die and I'm not going to notice for several years.
Yeah, that's true. It seems too dangerous. Let's not do it. That was my first time ever encountering LARPers.
Oh,
it was
what
down
were they?
In the ravine there.
A good place to turn up a bevy of LARPers.
They had like plastic armor and swords and stuff, and I'd never encountered it before. And I mean, what better a place to have sword fights than down in a wooded ravine in the Pacific Northwest?
It sounds really fun.
Can you imagine anything better?
Like, I'm jealous of this.
Me too.
I mean, I'm sure we could get involved if we wanted.
That's what we're going to do after we finish taping this episode.
Okay.
Let's go. I'll drive you over there.
This episode is brought to you by the Thomas's English Muffins that I'm currently chewing.
Matthew, what's your ideal Thomas's English Muffin breakfast setup?
Okay. I'm thinking about cheesy sauce.
Oh, really?
Or like crusty, crispy cheese. So
like you know how, cheese toast, but
yes,
using an English muffin.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So that the cheese in the middle would be soft and bubbling and like dribbling into the nooks and crannies.
Uh-huh.
And around the outer edge, you'd get not only like crusty cheese, but also crispy, crunchy.
That's right.
Crunchy, crunchy
English
muffin.
Those two textures would come together. Synergy.
Ooh.
Because this is my perfect fantasy morning, I would be eating this in a big overstuffed easy chair that somehow magically cleans itself.
Oh my gosh. You know, you should get a dog.
It's weird. Oh, I was going to say it's weird that this is the future and we don't have that self-cleaning chair yet, but I guess
it's a dog.
It's a dog.
It's a dog. Yeah. And then would you take the dog for like a walk while you, I don't know, eat another English muffin?
Yeah, I would have an English muffin in each hand and the dog would be walked by a futuristic robot leash. Or something.
Great.
Anyway,
okay.
We'll post a picture of a Thomas's English muffin that we really did eat. And Thomas's, wake up to what's possible. Two words for you. Welsh rarebit.
Which is what we just ate.
Did you know what this was before this episode?
No. And sometimes it's one of those things that I feel like if you're into reading about food, like if you read enough food writing, you will encounter Welsh rarebit.
Sure. I'm sure like a Jane Grigson has mentioned it or
it
a Hugh
like
Fearnley Whittingstall.
It seems like it's, you know, it's always presented in a way where I feel like I'm supposed to know what it is.
Yes, exactly.
And so I just sort of read past it and
so
it's like your Ravenna. I just keep not looking it up.
I think I knew that it involved a cheese sauce, but I didn't really know like what kind of cheese sauce. Was it the kind that they put on your nachos at the movie theater, for example?
It's also sometimes called Welsh rabbit.
Yes. So this is where things get, I was going to say interesting, but you'll have to be the judge of this. So Welsh rarebit is toast with a cheese sauce, like broiled on top, sort of like a cheddar mornay sauce made with like a flour and butter roux base to thicken it, and then made with beer and mustard powder.
Like Coleman's dry mustard?
Exactly.
Okay.
And no one seems to know how it came to be called rarebit, because that is not a Welsh pronunciation of rabbit, and the term Welsh rabbit definitely predated the term Welsh rarebit.
Oh.
So it's like someone made up like a funny pronunciation for this, and it stuck.
Like a funny pronunciation of rabbit?
Yes, exactly. So according to Wikipedia—
Sure this isn't fake news?
I'm pretty sure. The notion that toasted cheese was a favorite dish irresistible to the Welsh has existed since the Middle Ages. It's mentioned in a 1526 joke book.
The Welsh were like really known
for
loving toasted cheese.
Loving cheese, yes. And there's a joke in this joke book from 1526 in which St. Peter tricks all the Welsh people in heaven by luring them outside the gates of heaven with cheese toast and then locking them out.
Hilarious.
So jokes didn't used to be jokes is my conclusion from that. A legend mentioned in a Betty Crocker cookbook claims that Welsh peasants were not allowed to eat rabbits caught in hunts or on the estates of the nobility, so they used melted cheese as a substitute.
Yeah, same, same.
Mm-hmm. The author also claims that Ben Jonson and Charles Dickens ate Welsh rarebit at Ye Olde Cheshire Cheese, a pub in London. There is no good evidence for any of this. What is more, Ben Jonson died almost a century before the term Welsh rabbit is first attested.
Remind me, I read Ben Jonson my sophomore year of high school. What did he write?
Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine.
Was he a poet?
He was a poet.
Okay.
Like a love poet.
A love poet. I remember his name so clearly.
But I mean, the tragedy that we now know is he died without ever tasting Welsh rarebit.
Poor guy. And I'm glad that's no longer the case.
You know
for
what?
Me.
You know what's worse? When he died, his podcast co-host didn't even notice.
She just kept scrolling on her phone, going doop de doop,
doop de doop, looking at rarebit recipes, looking at cute rarebit videos. So
I love that video of rarebits playing in a band.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like playing a White Stripes song.
Yeah,
which ye olde White Stripes, spelled with like W-H-Y-T-E.
Yeah, when like the little crispy parts of the cheese bounce up and down on the when the drummer's playing really hard.
Said it once before, but a band's repeating now. You know, yep, exactly. Which that song was written by Ben Jonson. Okay. who's the guy? Ben Lee is like the Australian guy who's like cute and writes songs.
I don't know.
We'll post a link to a Ben Lee video.
Okay.
Okay. So the recipe I made today is a Welsh rarebit, although it's not called such. It's from a book. It's from a cookbook called Tasting Hygge.
By listener Leela Sid.
Yeah,
hi,
listener
Leela
sent us a copy of her book, Tasting Hygge, which is about it's recipes to celebrate the Danish practice concept of hygge, which is cocooning in the winter
and
having blankets and candles and eating toast and glog and stuff, probably.
Yeah.
This is what I know about hygge. I listened to a podcast about it once.
When I came over and I saw this book open on your counter, I said, oh, Matthew, you've got this Tasting Hygge book. And I believe the words out of your mouth were, I live hygge.
Probably said that. Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of true. Like on any given evening in the winter, you can find me probably cuddled under a blanket, surrounded by my family, drinking some sort of beverage, watching Jeopardy, as they've been doing in Denmark for centuries.
Yeah.
This recipe is called gooey cheese toast with mustard and cayenne, and it's really just like I described. I've got some stout. I made the cheese sauce with butter, flour, beer, sharp cheddar, mustard powder. It calls for Worcestershire sauce. I put in a little fish sauce because I didn't have Worcestershire. Mm. And a pinch of cayenne, pinch of salt.
So when you were making this cheesy beer mornay sauce.
Yes.
Can I just say it looked really challenging.
Right. This
to me.
Welsh rarebit.
I had to step away from
like
the stove.
Burnt garbage.
Well,
it's one of the ugliest foods in the world.
The sauce looks like caramel pudding.
Yes, because you put this brown beer in
this,
it.
Yeah, so it looks like caramel pudding that you're then spreading on bread and putting under the broiler. So you can imagine your caramel pudding looking sauce.
Right. It's just, like you're making burnt pudding.
Yes. Then it gets sort of bubbled and you know, a little bit, you know, browned in places. It actually looks like a mistake.
Yeah. It looks like discards.
Yes. And it's delicious.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I would eat it all day. I used some nice thick cut sourdough bread from Grand Central Bakery.
Can I point out that I noticed that you spread the cheese sauce really well out to the
Thank
edges.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, I didn't want burnt edges. The recipe also calls for optional toppings, which I did not get any of because I'm lazy, but fried egg, fresh sage, pickled onions, mango chutney, grainy mustard, thickly sliced heirloom tomatoes, seared broccoli, a salad of butter, lettuce, and tangy dressing. Any and all of the above. Probably not all at the same time. Yeah, right?
Oh, the mango pickle. That sounds great.
Yes.
Okay, so hold on. We'll definitely link to this book on our website. I wonder if we could find the recipe somewhere online and link to it, or I don't know if Leela would let us.
So... Yeah, I mean,
I will
ask listener Leela if we can have permish
to feature this dish.
Can we feature a dish? It was delish. Can we have permish? And she's like, you wish. Go fish. Bish.
That was perfect.
Thanks.
Bravo.
Yeah, we'll link to that. We gave you enough information.
What other? Hold on, but really quick. So Welsh rarebit.
Yes.
What other kinds of cheese toast do you make?
Huge difference between cheese toast and like an English muffin pizza, right?
Excuse me. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. So,
an English muffin pizza, pizza bagel, all these things all have tomato.
Okay, but if you made one without, like if you...
It is totally different.
What about like pizza bread?
Sorry, I keep touching you with my feet.
You're gesticulating so forcefully to make a point.
Matthew, I don't see... Okay, hold on. This is like saying that that a grilled cheese...
Yeah, let's get into this.
This is like saying that a grilled cheese is just like a pizza, but you folded it over on itself and cooked it like on a griddle.
I think a grilled cheese is an American calzone.
Absolutely not. Matthew, I'm not going to entertain this line of thinking.
I think I'm out now.
Okay. Anyway, I'll answer my own question.
I forgot what the question was.
What I do is I lightly toast my bread, as mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, and then I usually grate on the large hole size of a box grater.
Yeah.
Sharp cheddar, I think, you know, I could probably also get down with like Gruyere or a mixture of sort of Swiss style cheeses.
This all sounds good.
But the truth is I very frequently make cheese toast that's just like Tillamook sharp cheddar, sandwich bread. Well, because I have a toaster. I grew up with a toaster oven.
Oven, but now I am sadly deprived.
I really like having a toaster oven. And I have to say it doesn't do the greatest job of pure toast.
Nothing does the greatest job of pure toast.
No, it really, really this doesn't. But I like having a toaster oven because I can do things like I can make cheese toast in it. Oh, also, I have like leftover fried chicken or something.
Oh, yeah.
I have this like little, very small cast iron baking dish, and I'll put my leftover fried chicken in there, set my toaster oven to like 400 or 425, and like bring my fried chicken back to life in the toaster oven.
Wow. You literally brought your fried chicken back to life. It's a gross ass miracle.
Well, and it just seems like it preheats way faster and hopefully uses less energy than my regular oven.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Anyway.
Okay. I did not realize you were a traveling toaster oven salesperson, but you made a sale today.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, this thing about toast, it's like the sickness at the core of humanity that we have done so much, but we cannot make a machine that makes toast.
When I was recently on a writing retreat at the home of a writer who had just gave me her home. I don't know her.
Like permanently signed over the title
just,
to you.
She just did. This incredibly generous creature.
Oh, you like...
Anyway, she had a really nice toaster. It was made by Dualit.
Yeah, sure.
And it was extremely hard to figure out how to operate. It had two knobs that you turn. One had like hash marks on it. And I figured out
like
that
hashtags?
It was... Well, so it
hashtag
had,
toast.
It had four slots in the top. And so one knob you would turn to tell it how many slots you were using. Okay.
And this was a toaster made by Dua Lipa.
No. No. This was not made by a singer. This was made by an appliance company.
Okay.
Anyway, and then the second knob was to like turn it on, and then it had a lever at the bottom that you had to flick to get the toast
got
to go down.
You hands working.
No,
here.
You had to do so much for this toaster. However, it was the best working slot toaster I've ever used.
All right.
It was probably
cost
quite
like
$200,
yeah, right?
Yeah, it was probably quite expensive.
Fuck you, Dua Lipa.
She had really, really nice appliances.
And this was the house that Dua Lipa
She also had this incredible dishwasher.
Oh, I love an incredible dishwasher. Now,
actually,
that's something that does
actually
work.
Actually got my dishes clean and then dried them.
Yes.
My dishwasher cannot dry a dish to save its life.
But, I mean, we've talked about, like, I recently got a new dishwasher, and it's quiet, and, like, it's almost too quiet, but it works so great, and it has buttons, and I love it. This episode was brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins.
Matthew, is it possible to keep yourself from drooling while you listen to me eat a Thomas's English Muffin?
Well, I'm going to say yes, but if I think about a Thomas's English Muffin, then no, I do drool.
Well, yeah, probably so.
But, I mean, it's just an involuntary reaction when I think about those nooks and those crannies.
Thomas's, wake up to what's possible. Okay, well, this has been our cheese toast episode.
Yes. Okay, so I am going to be making cheese toast more often. Now, I didn't know this was missing from my life.
I feel like I don't...
Sometimes you just know.
I don't know if I can commit to making a Mornay sauce.
No, I'm going to... More often, I'm just going to throw some cheese onto toast.
Yeah, and broil it.
Maybe broil it.
Maybe. Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's just the throwing that I'm excited about.
So you may just be eating cheese bread.
Yeah. This isn't cheese toast at all, but a thing that Lori, wife of the show Lori, reminded me of recently is that we used to get these like seedy rolls from Trader Joe's, like sourdough, I don't know what they're called, but like little rolls, and we would toast them and then put a slice of cheddar in the middle just when they came out of the toaster so it would just start to melt and like soften.
Gosh.
It was so good.
This sounds like amazing foreplay.
Cheese and bread. Very good together. My name is Wilf
Chumbly,
and I just invented that.
Okay, you can weigh in on any of these things, particularly if you know more about them than we do, which
yes.
I think a lot of you do. Please weigh in at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. Tell us, do you know
Wilf Chumbly, my friend Wilf?
Do you know any funny jokes from 1526?
Yes. The Irish. You can also find us at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where you can also leave a comment and tell us any and all of those things. You can leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Box of Cats.
Litter Box.
Mm-hmm. Those are our friends at CastBox. Let's not compare them to a litter box.
No, but I was just riffing on the cat thing.
I know. I saw where it was going. It's like, I mean, we love CastBox.
Yes, we do.
They're not.
Oh my gosh,
they're
Matthew,
not holding a gun to our heads.
Matthew, you're short-circuiting.
Oh, no. Last time I short-circuited, you didn't notice, and you just kept vamping. Last year, I got struck by lightning. I sprang to life.
Stop
I started
it.
Singing an El DeBarge song.
Stop.
Who All right. is Johnny?
Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
I'm Johnny.
And I'm Molly. Yeah, the other day when I was like, I can't deal with unloading the dishwasher right now. I can't deal with unloading the dishwasher right now.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.